It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 closet dwellers and closet busters. It is time once again. You know what it is, the Coming Out Lounge. Yeah, we are back in the lounge this week. And man, it's kind of warm where I'm at. You know what? We're going to heat things up this week in the lounge because you know what? It's time to play. And so often we get told as we're growing up or even in life to man it up or act like a lady or quit being such a crybaby or a whiner or a complainer. And all those words truly cut like a knife. And oftentimes, well, as you know, they can scar us for life. And once the scar is there, it is, well, really, really, really hard for it to go away. Even if you have the best plastic surgeon on a scar, the memories of those scars that we get are often inflicted so deeply that they really affect our lives. That is, if we allow them to rule our lives. So I want you to roll forward into your own personal world right now for a moment. And I want you to think about, what are some scars that are hiding in your own closets? What are those scars that you might want to pull out and let them be healed? That need to bring them out so that you can play. Because once you can heal those scars, then you're back to playing in life and playing really big. And my guest, Nigel Moya, is going to share parts of a really powerful story that he shared in a video on Facebook a few weeks ago, which is the reason that he's on here, but also we're both coaches. We both went to the same school, Institute of Professional Excellence in Coaching. We got to hang together a few months ago at the Happiness Summit that I know many of you remember me talking about that. And I'm going to have him just kind of share some of his insights as a coach, what he's done as a gay man to really just truly step out and play full out in his life. So without me just taking up all the freaking time here on this podcast, I want to welcome my friend Nigel Moya to the podcast. So hey man, thanks for being here with us today.
Hey Rick, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. So yes, I've already kind of given the guests a little bit of insight. A few weeks ago on Facebook, you posted a video where you talked about playing and somebody very special in your life just uttering the words, just let him play. So would you mind just kind of sharing a little bit about that with the listeners and why this was such a compelling piece that really, I could tell it really impacted your life, it looked like.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I guess I'll start from the beginning. When I was a child, I used to play with my cousin's Barbie dolls. I think the first time I played with my cousin's Barbie dolls was when I was around 5 years old. And I grew up in the Dominican Republic, you know, to Dominican parents. And I don't know if you know anything about Caribbean culture, but oftentimes it's not very accepting of gay people.
Right.
And so, you know, it was really always seen as wrong for anyone to be gay and for boys to play with girls' toys. I think that's not exclusive to Dominican culture, but it was really a big deal in my family. And so, you know, there was only one person who would ever really allow me to just play with what I wanted to play with. And that was my uncle, Tio Juan Carlos, is what I used to call him. Yeah, and, you know, the rest of my family really just wanted me to play with cars and, you know, soldiers and all the boy toys and all that, except for him. He was the one person who, you know, whenever he saw me playing with his daughter with the Barbie dolls or whatever it was we were playing at the time, you know, if anybody were to try to stop me or especially my aunt or anything like that, he would just say, just let him play. Just let him play. And he was really like the one person that I felt as a child, right, as a kid, that I felt really truly accepted me and loved me for who I was no matter what. Now, I know I had a lot of love surrounding me regardless,
sure,
right? Regardless of my parents' beliefs and my family's beliefs around, you know, homosexuality or whatever. I know they loved me now. But back then, you know, as a kid, all I understood was, well, you know, here at his house, I can do whatever I want and he's okay with it. And he loves me and plays with me regardless, but nowhere else. So when I, to make a long story short, when, you know, he died in a tragic car accident not long after that. I must have been six. I mean, I get muddled on the age, but when I was very young, he died. And it was truly devastating. It was the first big loss that I had. I really felt like I lost my father because I really didn't have much of a relationship with my biological father up until that point. You know, it just really felt like my protector was gone. Like the person, the one person who really, really loved and accepted me for who I was no matter what and let me play and all of these things, he was gone. And so it was tough. It was tough. And since then, I think I developed kind of like a protective shield and not really getting close to people. And it's been a journey. It's really been a journey. But at the end of it all, I'm just so grateful to have had him in my life. And I truly believe that it led to, or at least part of it, the purpose of it was really for me to be who I am today and to become the person that I am today, to help others know that it's okay for them to be who and play the games they want to play, no matter what.
Well, and I love this analogy that you bring forward of the play the games they want to play. And because it is that childlike wonder, I think, that many of us, we end up freaking losing because we've been told by so many people, you can't be this, you have to act this way, you have to do this, you know, the man up, they act like a lady, stuff like I said in the introduction. It's all where we begin to lose our childlike sensibilities. And then suddenly we wake up and we're these adults, and unless we bring play back into our lives and we bring the enjoyment back, we end up kind of getting sedentary and just showing up, doing our life, not making anything too exciting out of it. If we don't remember, it's all about letting life be one big playground. I think that's a really key element that you're bringing forward in what you're talking about. Yes, we're talking about somewhat, you know, coming out as a gay man too. And I know there's a journey there in and of itself, but as you were speaking, one of the things that crossed my mind was this protector piece. And I think most LGBTQ people probably have a protector somewhere in their stories, someone that they really truly lean into, that they know they can trust, that they know they can have in their life. But one of the interesting things I've found is most of us also feel like we don't know how to be our own protector, especially when we finally say I'm gay or I'm lesbian or I'm bi or trans or whatever it is, because the person we've been suddenly goes away, or so we think. We're still that same person, but the person that we were before we finally embrace that piece and we step into it and we integrate that fully into our lives, there's kind of like the protector now goes away, but a new protector steps in. I think so often in our journeys, we forget that a new protector can step in. We just got to bring that protector back into play, so to speak. So as you've done your work and you've done your journey and started to come through, you know, from 6 years old on up, what was some of the biggest challenges for you stepping further into that realization that I just need to play and I just need to be who I am?
To this day, I think the biggest challenge has really been accepting my family's lack of acceptance, if that makes sense, you know, and just knowing that in and of itself is a gift, and kind of being the understanding and loving person that I want them to be, regardless of what or how they show up for me. I think that has really been the biggest challenge, and yet the biggest part of my growth. You know, I think
that is a huge challenge. I mean, I love the way you just positioned that of being the loving, caring person I want to be, regardless of how they show up. And this is a huge stumbling block for many of us because we go from this, you know, and I'm going to go back to the protector piece. You know, suddenly our parents, you know, for most of us, whether you have a single parent or dual parent still around as you're growing up, that parental figure, unless they're just really a shitty parent, is kind of your protector. And then suddenly you come through these closet doors, and when they turn their back on you, there's another piece of that protector that now just walked out the door. And so here you have to contend with not only am I not being accepted, but there's this underlying, and the person I thought who would always be there for me and take care of me, you know, in some way, shape, or form, now they're not there even for that. So it is that continuum of finding our way through these interesting little twists and turns of our journey and realizing I can show up with love and compassion regardless of how other people show up for me.
Absolutely.
Well, and it seems like a big piece of why you've gotten where you've gotten for yourself too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, if I didn't have that core belief that I'm not enough, that I'm not good enough, then I wouldn't have been driven to heal others as much as I've been driven to heal others. I think, I don't know, maybe I would have, but I think that it's a big part of it. You know, that sense of, well, let me fill the cup where mm-hmm. I feel it's lacking for me. Mm. And so I think it's definitely, that's why I'm so grateful for it. And, you know, and to go back to playing the games that we all want to play, you know, one of the things about that metaphor and why I like to use it so much is because, you know, life is a game, or mm-hmm. at least I like to think life is a game. And we're all in some way, shape, or form not playing full out as much as we can. There's always room for growth. And so if you're not liking the game that you're playing right now in your life, regardless, no matter what your story is, if you don't like the game you're playing, play a different game. Mm-hmm. Play a different game entirely. And then you get to create the rules and you get to decide how to win. And, you know, it's really about finding that inner coach, mm-hmm. that inner person who's, you know, that protector that's going to be cheering you on and saying, hey, you can play this, you can do this, no matter what's on the outside, and knowing from a place of self-worth that, you know what, I matter, and what I want matters, and I'm enough, and I get to play whatever game I want to play.
And I like this choosing to play the game, and here's something I think a lot of people trip up on, and I'm pretty sure this is going to resonate with some of our listeners, is you can choose to play your game, okay? Now, the first thing that typically comes up for a lot of people, and they go, okay, so you're telling me to go choose my own game and be my own player and go do all this stuff. That seems really selfish and self-centered. So first, we got to get over that piece. Secondly, to get to that space, and what I heard you say underneath everything is, it took a lot of internal work of you coming to a space of loving yourself, so that you could stand in those places and go, I'm going to be loving and compassionate, and I'm going to give back, and I'm going to help people find their way to do this. But you didn't get there until you did the work. And I know you enough to know you're continuing to do the work. This isn't like one and done. We continue to do this work every day. So as you work, you know, to bring people into the game of life, what is something that you see as you've worked with people that trips them up about going and choosing this new game thing?
You know, it's funny because I was just having a conversation about this. I think the biggest thing is really caring what other people think, and not in a, you know, so it's important to understand the value of feedback. You know, feedback is information, and whether you judge it as positive or negative, that's a judgment that you're placing on it. But you can really choose to look at your results, including, you know, how people think about you or what people say or do towards you as feedback. And once you do that, then you're able to really take a step back and say, well, you know what? I'm doing this because I think it's courageous, because I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And whatever people think or say beyond that, well, that's just feedback. And some people may like it and some people won't. But that's none of my business. Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting perspective to take.
Yeah,
that perspective of it's just feedback. And too often we take that, and sometimes it is judgments. Sometimes it is criticism. Other times it's, you know, somebody just being truly an asshole. But when we can shift from that space of realizing we're getting feedback, now how do we choose to take that? Do we choose to take it as somebody judging us? Do we take that as somebody's beating us up? Do we take that as somebody is being an asshole. I think the feedback thing is such a beautiful word that you just pulled out to say, this is what it is when people react to us versus, oh my God, we go right for the victim mode and we dive into this, or we go into the combat mode, or we go into, oh my God, you know, they don't love us or whatever. Instead of going, okay, right now I'm just getting feedback. I'm just getting information. Mm-hmm. One of my clients, you know, when we talk, he goes, well, you've just given me some really good data sets. He's a controller. He's an accountant. So I'm not surprised that this is how he talks. But it's amazing when we change some of the information we're taking in and we start putting some of these other words on it. I love to say when somebody's giving me, you know, giving me a hard time or something, I'm like, okay, they're showing me ways to connect some dots. Dots that I may not have yet seen. Maybe some dots that I don't even know that I have that need to either be connected or they need to be removed out of the, you know, exercise altogether. But I think for those of us that have been through the closet doors, or, you know, those that are contemplating going through that, is to realize what you're going to get right now is beautiful feedback. It may hurt. It may be painful at times. But when somebody gives you the feedback that I can't accept you and your quote, lifestyle, which that's one of my pet peeve words, but I can't accept you and your lifestyle. It's really feedback for you to take in and go, they're doing the best they can. This is all they know.
Yeah.
They don't have any other benchmark to work from. Now, yes, we can get pissed off, but when we switch the word to I'm receiving feedback, I'm getting input, I'm getting data, I'm getting, you know, an inside purview of what that person is. I know in NLP work and a lot of the Tony Robbins work, it's we are seeing their map of the world. Their map of the world, and every one of us has one. Every one of us has a map of the world, and it's not
exactly. The map is not the territory.
Right, exactly, exactly. So as you've grown and you've come through this, and one of the things I know, and this is something that I loved about when I first met Nigel, was everybody's going to do this gay thing differently. And one of the things that I've always said to clients is, the sooner you can embrace that you get to be gay your way, the sooner you're going to be more at peace with yourself. And so when I first met Nigel, I knew we were both gay guys, but what I respected about him a lot was it wasn't something that he had to put front and center in his life. He's not ashamed of it, but it's not something that he puts front and center. Now, somebody else could be in the same space and they put it front and center. And that's cool too, because that may be their map of their world. What I see in you and the things that you brought forward is it's part of who you are, but it isn't the defining piece of who you are. And even, I know it's going to sound crazy to people listening to it. They're going to go, okay, really, Rick? But it's not the defining piece of who I am. And yes, I know I've built my reputation as being the coming out. Do all this stuff. But if I were to stand in front of a group of people on a stage and say, write down the first 20 things that describe who you are, I can honestly say that being gay would not be on my top 20 list. It would be somewhere in there, but it wouldn't be in the top 20 because I'm a dad, I'm a coach, I'm a husband, I'm a wine drinker, I'm a cyclist, I'm a guy who loves a great comedy. All these other things would show up and, oh yeah, gay happens to be part of this. So as you've move through this and come into your own, what has caused you to really realize it just has a space in your life, but it doesn't seem to, at least, and maybe I'm interpreting it wrong, it doesn't seem to have a predominance of, you know, this is who Nigel is?
It's a great question. And if you think that people are going to think you're nuts after you said that, people are going to think I'm really nuts after I say this. But so I read this book long ago, a few years ago, Wishes Fulfilled by Wayne Dyer. And in it, that's where I first learned of the idea or the truth, as I like to call it, that I am God. I am a part of God, inseparable, and everything and everyone is a part of God. And so when I'm asked, you know, who am I or what defines me? If it's private, I tend to write that down first. Typically, I don't say that because then people will look at me crazy, but that's really what I believe. And sometimes I feel it more than others, but God is limitless. if I am the universe and I am God, and God is just the best word to describe it that I can come up with, because I don't even, it's not a separate entity for me. You know, right. You know, you could call it grand overall design, you could call it universe. But once I realize that I'm inherently, you know, by the laws of physics, you know, I'm literally made of stars, I no longer feel the need to identify with any one label.
Yeah.
You know, one time I stood up and I introduced myself as an author, a speaker, a coach, and I listed all these labels, and it still didn't feel enough because it's just, it does not describe who I am. I don't know if that answers your question.
But no, it does, because
that's
I think
really how I see myself. Yeah.
Well, and I think this, the reason I asked that question is because I think for most of us, as we're on this, you know, exploration of our closets and we step out of them, it doesn't matter if it's a sexual orientation closet or what it is, but as we explore those, we tend to go, okay, well, now I'm this. Okay, well, now I'm that. Well, now I'm that. And it's who we are as humans. We have to have these labels to kind of get each other and to get life. But one of the things that I've found that's so powerful is to just say, so I'm a human and there's lots of different facets to me as a human, but part of that humanity is also, and this is where I align with your thinking, is that I'm also part of the divine, because the divine created this. And there's no part of me that, if I'm part of the divine that created me and the world and everything, then there's nothing inherently wrong with me. There's just things I do that may not be exactly what the divine would do, but I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm shifting, I'm changing. Each day is another opportunity to go grow and to go, what can I do right today? Not what did I do wrong today? And I think that's a big difference for a lot of people. So as you work with people, I know one of the things you do a lot of work around abundance and helping people really see abundance. I'd love to have you just share about, you know, what you see abundance being, because I think this is one of the things that, and I know it's going to sound weird to everybody listening, but if you don't come from a place of abundance in yourself as you come out of the closet, trust me, you're going to have a much harder time, because I believe you have to see abundance in many different facets, and it's not necessarily the amount of money in your bank account or what's in your wallet or your purse. There's a lot of abundance around everything we see in life. So I'd just love to have you share about some of that abundance philosophy you show and have, and how you work with people in that arena, Nigel.
Yeah, absolutely. I can attest to what you said about having a harder time coming out if you're not coming from abundance, because I know that when I came out, I wasn't coming from abundance, and it was tough, and I did a lot of things that I wouldn't do today. But abundance to me is all there is. It's synonymous with God. It's synonymous with the universe for me. There is no such thing as scarcity. It's an illusion. And so at the core of abundance is not necessarily more than enough, just that there is enough, that there is, period. And so if I am and there is and I have, I am enough. I am enough. And so when you really come from that place of I am enough and I matter, it no longer becomes any of your concern, honestly, what anybody else does or says, and oftentimes what you're looking for, right? So oftentimes people are seeking abundance instead of kind of relaxing enough to know that, one, they already have it, and two, there's no way to get to it. It's a place to come from. And so once you come from it, it then automatically and magically and energetically becomes attracted to you.
So this piece, you just, this really big value bomb you just dropped, I think it's going to throw a lot of people for a loop, that it's where you come from, not what you get to. And so I'd love, I'm going to kind of interpret that a little bit, and I'd love for you to follow up with your interpretation of it. It's so interesting to me that we say, I want to be successful. I want to be fulfilled. I want to, you know, have abundance. I want to, you know, we say that's what we want. But if you turn and flip this around and say, how do you come from success? How do you come from fulfillment? How do you come from abundance? How do you come from happiness? People have a really hard time wrapping their head around it, when in reality, it's actually pretty simple. It doesn't mean the minute that you say, I'm coming from abundance, you have $1 million in your bank account. But what it means is when you come from a space of, I breathed a breath this morning. I saw the sunshine today. I was able to taste my breakfast. I enjoyed the air conditioning. And I'm saying that because it's a freaking 105 degree day here where I'm at. But it's these things where, you know, is it gratitude? Yes. But the abundance of what is available to us is, it's pretty amazing. And I think oftentimes we forget that. The success that we've already, you know, I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day as we were working on his podcast and talking through things, and he's a success coach. Kind of that's where he operates from. He goes to a much bigger space, but I just call him for simplicity a success coach. And he said, what we forget to do is celebrate the success we've already had. It's like we have it, and then as soon as we achieve it, we move right on. Like, okay, now I got to get this. How often, those of you that are listening, and I'm going to bring this full circle in a way to the coming out journey. When was the last time as you've started your journey or the last person that you talked to that you really celebrated that person listened to you in your story? They may not have accepted it, but they at least listened to it. That's a success right there. Now, of course, yes, if somebody embraces you, when did you celebrate that? Oftentimes we don't celebrate the things that are happening right in front of us. And that's what I feel like is coming from success, coming from abundance, coming from fulfillment, is to come from those spaces of, this is what I already experience, and I want to continue to experience that. Because I can tell you for sure, and I'm sure Nigel's going to weigh in on this in a really beautiful way, that when you come from those spaces, it is much easier to continue to bring those sort of things into your life than to go, okay, I'm working towards success here. I'm going for it. You're already successful. You just got to continue to work from that space. So anything you'd like to add there, Nigel, that I didn't cover, which I'm sure you will have some stuff there.
I think what you said was great. You know, in terms of it being challenging or easy, it's a choice. And it really can be as simple as, you know, if let's say someone's really wants to have $1 million, you know, we know through our coach training that what they really want is the feeling, the emotion that they're going to get once they have $1 million. So sit down, visualize, hey, what, you know what, let's say I have $1 million right now. How does it feel? And then as best you can, go through your day with that feeling. With that feeling of, you know what, I am a millionaire. And, you know, what would I do? How would I interact with the world? I would probably slow down. I would probably not feel the need to do so much. I would probably not feel the need to judge other people and their spending. I would probably not feel the need to do a lot of things because I already have what I thought I wanted.
And I think
what you're saying
is that it brings you to that space. Because you're not focused on what you don't have.
Exactly. You're focused on what you have. And really what you have is that feeling of love and abundance inside of you. Mm-hmm. And when you interact with the world in that way, well, you automatically start getting different results. It's inevitable. I mean, you don't even have to believe in magic or energy or anything to know that if you're feeling happy and excited, you're much more likely to have people be energized and happy and excited around you.
Yep.
It's just physics.
It is. And I think sometimes we forget that, you know, some people say, okay, well, you're just saying to change your mindset. Well, that's part of it, but it's also tapping into what you know you can do. When you come from a place of gratitude, I'm going to use one that most people are probably more familiar with. If you come from a place of being in gratitude, and I want everybody listening to just think in their mind right now of something that they feel grateful for. and get really solid in that. And then move towards, in your mind, I want to move towards more gratitude. Your physiology is already being awakened for you to move forward in that way. However, now clear that eraser, you know, erase that off the whiteboard, so to speak, and let's do it a different way. Let's come from a place of, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Everything sucks today. It really sucks because my car broke down. It's 105 degrees. My daughter has an accident. My husband bit my head off this morning on his way out the door. I don't have anything to be grateful for, but I'm going for gratitude. Now tell me how you feel in your body now. Your body is fighting because it's charged with negativity. It can't pull the gratitude forward as easily as it did when you were coming from a place of gratitude. And that's exactly what Nigel meant when he says, you come from these spaces, you come from abundance, you come from success, you get all these different things. And I think that's a really powerful way to look at your journey out of the closet. If you come from a space of, this is going to be difficult, this is going to be rejection oriented, this is going to be a space where I'm going to have lots of conflict. If that's where you're coming from, that's actually what you're going to bring to the journey. If you come from a space of, this is my freedom, this is me being authentic, this is me attracting people to me that will embrace that I'm being who I'm meant to be, and now I'm going to continue to go forward to bring more of that into my life. I'm going to bring the abundance of good friendships, the abundance of embracing and acceptance and love. Think how much different you now feel. Anything you want to add there, Nigel?
No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I will say, you know, at the core of this abundance versus scarcity conversation, mm-hmm. it's really that belief that I am enough. Mm-hmm. Because no matter what, you know, whether you get what you want or don't get what you want, or you feel like you need something and you come back to, you know what, no matter what, I am enough. Mm-hmm. Then that will tell you, you can handle anything that comes your way or what mm-hmm. doesn't come your way. You're enough. You're mm-hmm. all you need.
Well, I love that you shared the three. I am enough. There is enough. I have enough. And I think sometimes, in fact, probably a majority of the time we as humans, we don't say those mantras, and no pun intended, we don't say them enough. We don't say I am enough. There is enough and I have enough, because we have been raised in a society that says you're not enough, there isn't enough, and you don't have enough.
But the more, and a really powerful one.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, it seems to me that when we can flip these things around, that's when we have power. And I'm totally interested, before we wrap this up, what the really powerful one is that you would like to share.
Well, a really powerful one for me has also been, I do enough. Mm. Mm-hmm. I do enough. It's really transforming just to know that there's actually not much else to do. I do enough.
That is powerful. And I think the I do enough piece is something that most of us can grab onto if we open our mind to it. And as you said it, that was a big one for me when you said those words, because I often catch myself going, well, I'm not doing enough here. I need to be doing more of this. I need to be doing more of this. And then as soon as I start saying, well, I need to be doing more of this, I need to be doing more of that, I don't want to do anything. I want to say, fuck it, right. I'm done. No, I'm done.
Yeah, it's stressful.
You know, it becomes really,
it's overwhelming.
It becomes very overwhelming. But when I say, okay, I'm good, you know, even as we're going to wrap up here in a few minutes, I'm good with everything that I did today because I recorded a lot of podcasts. I'm good. I've done enough. Now, what I get to do is say, do I want to do more? Yeah, I do. Because there's some other stuff that I know I'm in my zone right now. I know I'm in my, like, totally energized zone, which is really, you know, if you want to stay in the zone, folks, start a podcast, record all the shows on one day. You'll have a great day because you're just pumped. Everybody brings stuff to the table for you. But it is a really interesting thing when you go, okay, I've done enough. Then you can ask the question, would you like to do more? And if you say no, that's cool. And know that you've done enough then. And if you say yes, no, you're tapping into some power that you got going. You're riding your mojo. You're in your zone. You're on track. So let it be. But oftentimes we don't ask those questions of ourselves. And I think those are four of the most powerful things that, you know, have come out of this podcast today is I am enough. There is enough. I have enough and I've done enough. So any last minute stuff here you'd like to leave the guests with? You know, I said to you off the air before we got on that one of the questions I often ask is if you could leave someone with a bit of wisdom or something to help them come through the closet doors or just keep doing what they're doing, do you have one last bit of wisdom you'd like to drop on our listeners, Nigel, as we close out the show for today?
Go forth and take one step at a time. One step at a time. Go to, you know, whatever it is that you want to come out of, whatever closet you want to come out of, do it slowly with people you trust and love, but then keep taking those steps. Abundance is waiting for you. In fact, it's already here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting that you said that, because just before we came on the air, I was projecting ahead to, you know, what the next couple of months shows look like. And we are going to be coming up on show number 200. I was thinking, okay, well, what's next from there? It was really powerful to just kind of sit in that and go, this has been created. Look at the abundance that I've experienced because of this. Look at what I brought to this. But I only got here by doing one show at a time, one step at a time. And of all the shows, almost 200 that we've done, and unless my memory doesn't serve me correctly, I don't know that anybody has ever said, take one step at a time. There's been lots of other versions of it, but they've never actually come out and said, just give yourself permission to take one step at a time. And I think that's really powerful. Some powerful words to kind of wrap everything up here. You know what, man? I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you being here. I'm going to share a little bit something personal about Nigel. He and his husband are getting ready to start a new adventure in their life. And they will have been in their new life for a few weeks when this show airs, but they are about to move out of the country and take on a whole new adventure. So bless you and all the best on your new adventure as you move forward.
Thank you for having me. It's really been an honor and a pleasure.
Me too. And with that, we're going to probably call it a wrap. So thanks everyone for listening. So there you have it. Another episode of the Coming Out Lounge has come to a screeching halt. Well, maybe not a screeching halt, but yeah, it is wrapping up right here. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening and being with us here today. And I want to reach out to my listeners right now and say, you know what? I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear your questions that you might like to get addressed here on the show. I'd love to hear your comments, your suggestions. Maybe you know someone who would make a great guest. So if you would like to do that, you would like to give us some feedback and give us some ideas for guests, or you want a question that you want me to answer, give us a ring. Yes, that means dial your phone, 949-371-8559, 949-371-8559. That actually goes to a Skype voicemail box, so you can call us from anywhere that you have access to a Skype number. You don't have to have Skype to dial that number. For those of you who are out of the country, that might make it a little bit easier. Or if you want to send us an email, just send it to rick@rickclemons.com. Again, rick@rickclemons.com, and Clemons is C-L-E-M-O-N-S. We would love, love, love to hear from you so we can put more into the show that's coming from our listeners. And with that, we're going to call it a wrap and wish you well for the coming week. Never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth, because every time you do, it's simple to be bold. Take care, everyone.